This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp and Raycon.
This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shiznits. Inner Ho Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City, who goes outside but wears a motherfucking mask and is still down with the never-ending resistance. Who am I with?
Akua, who does the same things as Sam. That's all I got for y'all.
And many other things that I don't do is a person in her own right. Every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or deep dive into episodes on a topic of our choice. This episode, we're talking about the beauty of interlocking genitals. Hobbies for hoes, a review of a film all about a middle-aged black woman leaving the bullshit behind to find herself, and trying times as a black femme in the very white southwestern United States, along with much, much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had on this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InnerHoUprising without the G on Twitter, at InnerHoUprising with the G on Instagram, and on Facebook. You can also join our Facebook group by searching InnerHoUprising Community, that is CUMMUNITY. And you can head over to InnerHoUprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, to pay a hoe, and to check out the last of our merch.
And if you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to. Or if you'd like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating workshop for your organization, we would love to do that also. To book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Now we're going into a segment that we like to call Hoe of the Week.
There's some hoes in this house.
There's some hoes in this house.
Yes. My shit.
We have some wet ass pussies up in here. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Hoes of the Week. The hoes are people who have supported Inner Ho Uprising in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind the nicknames. So this week we have Chameleon Here, Chameleon There, Tougher Than Nigerian Hair, Aunt to Wee Wee, and Aunt Martini. I put a little aunt next to their names now. For sending love when I was like, you know, guys, I need some love right now. And they sent love. And I appreciate that. Also, shout out to Erica M, aka Brick.
House. Hey, that's how I read it.
They're mighty good. I'm glad that we're here. Who became a patron on Patreon? We got Bussy AJ, whose nickname is Bussy AJ. That's the second Bussy nickname in the past 2 weeks, and I love it. But thank you for paying a hoe. We got Carla F, aka K2 Visa, who had to cancel their Patreon subscription but left a really sweet note, and we appreciate shit like that. So thank you for doing that, and we wish you an abundant rest of 2020 and onward. Shout out to Surya A, aka Sunshine, who became a patron on Patreon. Thank you all very, very much. We love and appreciate you. If you would like to be a hoe of the week and get a cool nickname, here are some things you can do. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can feature us in an article you've written or shout us out on social media. These are non-monetary ways you can support us. We love monetary and non-monetary support, and we understand that in these uncertain times, monetary support is not feasible for many folks. So please do not spend your last dollar on us. Put you and yours first and foremost. But if you can spare some change, you can donate to us on PayPal at paypal.com/innerho. You can become a Patreon on patreon.com/innerhouprising. And you can purchase some merchandise at innerhouprising.com/merchandise. The links to all of which are in the show notes. Also, a reminder that if you do become a patron on Patreon, for $2 a month, you can participate in things like our Slack chat, our patron-only film nights, our new thing that we're starting now, where we go on live for Patreon members exclusively before the show, and we talk about things that we were supposed to talk about on the show and got nixed from the show, or talk about what might make it to the episode, and we kind of shape the trajectory of Inner Ho Uprising together. And for $5 a month, you can join our Monday night Zoom hangouts, which is where we play Jeopardy every 2 weeks, and it's fun every single time. And at any Patreon tier, you can receive access to our episodes a few days early and entry to our workshops and parties. Now, I gotta ask, because it's important. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for me personally, living through a goddamn pandemic hasn't been the best for my mental health. I don't know about y'all. How about you, Akua?
Not at all. It's been a shit show over here. But guess who helped me through?
Has it been a great time? Who helped you through?
BetterHelp.
Better. That's why it's called that. That's why it's called that. Because you better know I need some help.
And you better provide it.
But yeah, I love BetterHelp. Cool likes BetterHelp. It is an online therapy service. And yeah, it's really dope. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours, which sometimes you need that quickly. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And there is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log in your account at any time and send your counselor a message. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, as do we over here at the Inner Ho Uprising. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily, and you can visit betterhelp.com/IHU, that's Better H-E-L-P, and join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for Inner Ho Uprising listeners. Once again, you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising. That link will be in the show notes. I can't believe I'm in a gang of 1 million people. Look at that online therapy community up in here.
Taking care of your mental health. That's right. We better.
We must, actually. Speaking care of taking care of yourself, we're going to get into a segment called Self-Care Tip of the Week. All right, so our self-care tip of the week this week is to get a hobby, ho, or several hobbies, hoes. If you're unaware on the meaning of hobby, a hobby is an activity done regularly in one's leisure time for pleasure. Emphasis on pleasure, not for grind or clout or side hustle, but for leisure and pleasure, feel good things, not a cog in the capitalistic system. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about hobbies right now. But first, I wanted to talk to you about the benefits of hobbies. I found an article on Psychology Today that was like 6 reasons to get a hobby. And I was like, I fuck with these reasons. So I'm just going to read the article. It's pretty quick. So the first reason as to why you need a hobby, hobbies help structure your time. According to Parkinson's Law, I don't know who the hell Parkinson is. Akua, as the mental health expert, who the fuck is Parkinson?
I don't got it. I don't got that one. I don't know who that is. I don't know that man. I don't know her.
Oh, shit.
Okay, but according to him, he said.
Shout out to Parkinson. I mean, it seems like a good theory, so let's just go with it. According to Parkinson's Law, work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion, which I fucking agree with. So Parkinson, I want to shake your motherfucking hand. More simply, things take as much time as you have. So when the evening stretches out before you, unscheduled, you might find yourself laboring over a work project or answering emails into the wee hours. Chances are, if you had choir practice or a book club meeting that night, you would get those tasks done much more quickly. So hobbies can seem to create more time by encouraging efficiency. which I totally agree. When you stack out your day and have a schedule for your day, you're more likely to adhere to what you've set forth for yourself, as opposed to like, maybe I'll get to this, because it's a really like gray territory when you say, maybe I'll get to this. Hobbies promote flow. Left to our own devices, we often opt for passive leisure. TV and web surfing are at the top of most people's lists. And sure, we all need to veg out from time to time, but we are so much more invigorated by active leisure, the sort of thing psychologist Molly Csikszentmihalyi calls flow activities. If you've ever lost yourself in a sport, art project, or other challenging, absorbing activity, you've experienced flow. Time flies, self-consciousness disappears, and you are fully immersed in the activity at hand. Hobbies, especially those that stretch our skills, foster this desirable and increasingly elusive state. That I can totally agree with, because you know who played tennis for 4 hours yesterday? Me. That's who. And when I walked in my house, I was like, oh, I can't walk anymore, because I had taken a week off because my wrist was hurting. And I played so hard and for so long the other day that my body was just like, oh, snap. What the freak? But I didn't even feel it when I was in this flow state, because it was just like feeling good and feeling fun. Our third thing is that hobbies can foster new social connections. While some hobbies are solitary endeavors, many can get us out in our communities, meeting people we otherwise wouldn't, sharing our passions, and forming new bonds. Countless studies have found that social connection is a key component of happiness and a meaningful life, and hobbies have the potential to create precious new ties. So hobbies can do that, and then they can also strengthen bonds with people that you already know, like me and Aku are in a book club together now. How great is that? Hobbies make you interesting. Hobbies give you something to talk about at parties and around the water cooler and on that dating app that's on the article. I just put that in there myself. They add layers to your identity, richness to your self-concept. People want to be around those with passions, with a sense of curiosity, with stories to tell. You not only feel more inspired when you have a rich and active life, but you will inspire others as well, which I totally agree with, because I hate when I'm like, oh, so what do you do on a dating app? And the person's like, I just smoke weed. And I'm like, why is that the only thing that you do? Not that there's anything wrong with smoking weed, but why is that the only thing that you do? Anyway, hobbies help you cope with stress. Imagine a rough day at the office where you were harshly criticized by your boss. Coming home and turning on the TV may provide a brief distraction, but it doesn't address your damaged ego head on. Ooh. Now imagine that after work you head out to your soccer league or pottery class. These activities are more than merely distracting. They remind you that you are many facets to your self-concept. Employee, yes, but also athlete or artist. As such, a blow to one aspect of your identity is less damaging. Simply put, your eggs aren't all in one basket. Like that one. And finally, the benefits can spill over into other aspects of your life. If you can designate an hour a day or even a few hours a week for something you feel truly inspired or enlivened by, don't be surprised if some of that newfound zest carries over into your work and family life. So those are some of the benefits of getting a hobby or having hobbies. Some of my hobbies include tennis now, which is very, very fun and exciting. I started playing in January and then I had to stop because a pandemic happened and there was only indoor courts, and that's not conducive to slowing the spread. But now that outdoor courts are open, I've been playing very, very frequently, and it's really, really fun. It makes me feel good about myself physically and mentally. I also re-picked back up guitar, which is not something I've done since I was like in high school or college. So I started, I guess this could be considered a hobby, but this is what made me get back into this. I started friendly visiting a senior as a part of a volunteer program, which I talked about many, many episodes ago, but I recently got matched with my senior, finally. And she plays tennis and she also plays guitar. And I was telling her like, yo, you know, I'm kind of going through it right now. She was like, man, you just need to go pick up that guitar, because when you play, it'll get your mind off things and you'll put your emotions into the music. And I was like, you know what? I have 14 guitars in my basement. I have three, but they are there and they are not being used. So I picked up one. I got a little tuner app on my phone, which helps you automatically tune your guitar. It sounds like I'm going to go into an ad right now, but I'm not. It's just a really useful thing to have. And I tuned that bitch up. I went on YouTube. I was like, beginner, blah, 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 guitar. And now I know 8 chords, and my fingers be hurting every day. And it feels good to do that. Also, I've been playing video games with my brother, and that's also really fun too. Some older hobbies that I have include reading, just watching and analyzing film and TV, which you might have guessed, learning about history, vegetable gardening, which I started again this summer, travel, culinary adventures like making Akua eat bugs, and I am in the process of fostering some more. So in my thinking about hobbies and ruminating on hobbies over the past couple of weeks, I just have some words of encouragement. You can take them or not. So my first is that it's never too late to learn a hobby and to not let your age stifle you. So the elder that I'm visiting via the phone, because it would be very dangerous to do that in person right now, but I spoke to her about, you know, what she's into, and she's into both guitar and tennis, and she started both of those things in her 20s. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm in my 20s, and you've been playing for like decades upon decades, and you're very good at it, and you love it, and you didn't let being in your 20s stop you from wanting to start a new thing in your life. Not that being in your 20s is old, but that is a common misconception that we place upon ourselves as millennials. If you want to partner with someone over a hobby, pick someone who will encourage you along the way and vice versa. So like I said, I've been playing video games with my brother, and something that I was always interested in video games for, like, the story aspect of it, but I wasn't interested in them because I was very bad, and I would always blame it on the fact that I have a poor spatial awareness, because it just wasn't something that I fostered as a child. I was doing other types of things. And then, like, my brother just, like, stuck through it with me. I was playing, like, an extremely easy game that was just, like, just click the button of what you choose to do next. It's called Detroit Become Human. It's very fun, but it's, like, pretty easy, but I would still, like, mess up in terms of, like, which way do I turn? I don't understand. Do I go into this wall? And he sent me this video on YouTube that was like, here is why you don't understand video games as an adult, and here is why it's hard for older adults to get into video games. And first of all, the fact that he even had the care to send me that video was like, you believed in me? Even though this is just, like, a bullshit way to pass the time, even though it's not a bullshit way to pass the time, but, like, you believed in me enough to, like, want to, like, nurture me through this. And also, it was, like, a really insightful video. I might put the links to that video in the comments, because I thought it was really cool. But, yeah, pick somebody who's going to, like, help you along the way, and to help them along the way. Remember, you're not going to be good at everything immediately, and that's okay. Personally, for me, it's kind of fun to suck at something and feel pressure to do better just because you want to, and not because it's tied to a check or a degree. Kua, I'm curious here, because you have said that you don't want to start things because you're not immediately good at it. Have you said that?
It probably more than likely had to be something physical, because, you know, me and the physical movements, it don't be working. But yeah, and that's what you told me.
I did tell you. Did it resonate?
Because I don't remember the specific example, I'm not sure. It resonated, I don't know, with that, like, that specific example, but I remember that you said that, and I was like, she has a point.
Okay. She has a point. As long as my points are being considered. I don't want to be talking into the void out here. All right. So just because you aren't doing something for money doesn't mean you shouldn't set personal goals to help get yourself better at it. I think in general, it just feels good to set and accomplish goals. A couple more things. You can use hobbies as a way to deepen bonds with your friends or family. Like I said, me and Akua are in a book club together with some of our other friends. And recently I reached out to a lot of my friends and was just like, what the fuck are y'all hobbies? What are y'all doing? And can I do them with you? So as to, you know, increase my own personal self-concept and also to deepen bonds with my folks, my niggas. You have more time than you think, which was alluded to in that Psychology Today article that I read. Consider how much time you really spend doing your endless scrolling or cycling through people's Instagram stories, which is something that we all do very often. Maybe not all of us, but I know I do. And when that urge to do that comes up, maybe shift that energy into a more active form of leisure. So when I find myself, like, endless scrolling, or, like, you know, when you're on Instagram stories and you get to a person who you're like, who the fuck are you? I follow you? Or you're just, like, very confused. That's the time where I'm like, oh, okay, maybe it's time for me to, like, pick up this book that we're reading in the book club, because who was that person? And why do I care that they're, like, not social distancing? I don't. I don't want to see that. What else? This is the last thing, I think. Yes, hobbies don't always have to be expensive or cost you money. So consider things like vegetable gardening, for example. That's a hobby that actually saves you money on vegetables in the long run. So don't think just because it's a hobby, you have to like spend exorbitant amounts of money into it. Also, like when you're learning things or whatever, you don't necessarily have to go to a teacher to do it. Like, there are people who teach me tennis, sure, but I also supplement that with YouTube videos. I don't have anybody who's helping me learn guitar right now. I'm solely doing it on YouTube. So maybe at some point you might consider like something where you have to spend money to deepen your skill in the hobby that you're interested in. But I don't think immediately that's something that you have to do, especially if you're just finding yourself or, you know, getting your feet wet in something that you're interested in. So in terms of how to find a hobby, I'm just going to raffle off some hobby types or some categories of hobbies, and then go into some things that you might want to question when choosing a hobby for yourself. So some hobby categories are physical. Physical hobbies have a clear physiological benefits because they increase both your heart rate and brain function. Other benefits include lower blood pressure, strengthening bones, and overall increase in energy. Examples include hiking, camping, swimming, yoga, martial arts, and I'm throwing in tennis in there. Mental and emotional is another category. Examples include gardening, listening to music, painting or drawing, cooking, coloring, which I also love to do, and photography. There are social and interpersonal hobbies that includes exploring new restaurants and making a cool eat bugs, seeing movies, discussing philosophy, trying new technology, playing music, playing games, and investing in real estate. There's also creativity as a category. That means engaging in a creative hobby that can help train your brain to be more creative in other areas of your life. Examples include writing nonfiction, hand lettering or calligraphy, cake or cookie decorating, soap making, quilting, crocheting, knitting, and jewelry making. I used to do jewelry making. Self-improvement. Some people enjoy hobbies that give them the opportunity to improve their confidence level, boost their self-esteem, and improve their quality of life. If you are thinking about a hobby like this, consider whether there is something you would like to change about yourself or improve upon. Examples include traveling alone, cooking, meditation, completing puzzles, journaling, or volunteering. And some questions that you might want to ask yourself include, do you enjoy competition? Do you prefer to enjoy doing things alone or with others? Is there a particular skill you would like to develop? Are you getting enough physical activity in your daily life? Are there things you enjoyed doing in your childhood that you want to revisit? In what ways do you want your hobby to challenge or change you? How much time can you devote to your new hobby? How much money can you invest in your new hobby? What types of people would you like to interact with? And what kinds of benefits would you like your hobby to provide? And that's it on hobbies.
Yes. Thank you, Sam. Going back to the time thing, because as you were talking, I was thinking I don't have many hobbies and then trying to figure out why. And this is the wormhole that my brain quickly goes into. But I realized a large part of my time is taken up parenting. And if you are a parent or you have a responsibility that then takes, you know, other absorbing amounts of time, find hobbies that you can include the child in, or that other, you know, whatever dependent is taking that responsibility, do a hobby with them. And that way you're knocking like four stones, well, four birds with one stone. I don't like that because of animal cruelty, but yes, you know what I mean.
We do not abuse animals out here, but yeah, that's a really good point.
You know, there's like familial bonding. There's still that social connectedness. There's, you know, development. There's all things that's happening when you incorporate other people.
Yes.
And, you know, incorporate multiple responsibilities into one task.
That's very true. I like that you said that. When I mentioned I used to do jewelry making, that is something that I did with my mom when I was caregiving for her when she was sick. So things like that. Yeah. Thank you. If you guys have hobbies or like, oh, because of this, I was inspired to start this, I want you to let us know what that is. And I want you to, like, if you're like playing guitar or something like that, send us a video of you doing that. Like, I want to see your hobbies. I want to be mutually inspired by your hobbies out here. I shine bright in all my different colors, all my different colors, colors. We shine bright in all our different colors, all our different colors.
Brooklyn's bitter, bad gal killer, known as the baddest, ass ain't the fattest, more than my assets, and I still cause a lot of havoc, but I be on peace and positive energy, still living in a world where folks trying to kill me. Here I see black women and queer, created all these rules that I couldn't adhere to, resilient, but don't ever fuck with my rights. The more I rise, the more they're trying to bring me down.
All right, well, we're going to move on to another segment. That segment is called Fuck That. It is our current events segment. And today, we're talking about interlocking genitals, and I'm quite excited. What the hell does that mean?
So, according to an article published in the Daily Mail, UK couples are seeking what is called a perfect fit cosmetic procedure to increase the fit of their genitals during the time of the corona. We have to add that here.
Yeah, okay? nothing is off limits.
So all of this in the article is discussed in a default of like a married cis hetero penis and vagina penetrative sex viewpoint. Mm-hmm. So I want to throw you out there. And of course I try as much to be inclusive and change, you know, terms as need. But you can't do it all without rewriting the article.
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, as I mentioned before, this is specific to the UK. There are couples now running to a doctor to increase the fit of their genitals. And this is a procedure provided by Dr. Lucy Glancy of Glancy Medical Associates, which is an aesthetic and cosmetic surgery clinic chain, or multiple clinics. That's based in Essex and London. And she says that business has been booming for her since the corona started. And I'm just like,
it's very interesting to me.
Interesting. They're trying to improve their shelter in place sex, I guess. I don't know. So according to Dr. Lucy Glancy, the friction introduced by well-fitting genitals is proven. We're gonna emphasize the word proven to improve sexual pleasure with orgasm. Ultimately, depending on the degree of friction produced during the intercourse for both partners. I don't know where she proved this at, but she claimed it's proven that you are going to increase your orgasms because your genitals fit better well and the friction caused increases sexual pleasure and ultimately orgasms.
Okay.
We're gonna get into it. So Dr. Lucy also says that this is one of the reasons why men who frequently masturbate find it difficult to climax during intercourse with a woman because they are used to producing a perfect fit of their hand, which fits like a glove over their penis, compared to being with a female partner. Therefore, a couple's sexual enjoyment and ability to climax does in part rely on their genitals matching up in size.
I ain't never heard no nigga say that. I ain't never heard no nigga say my hand is better than your pussy, but okay, sure.
And I had to Google because I was like, in my lived experience, I ain't never heard that. So maybe, let's get to the Googling. Google also said, sis. So this is Dr. Lucy's rationale behind providing these procedures for couples, and this is how she does it. Couples are assessed individually to assess their perfect match. I don't know if when she says individually, that means per a couple, you know, that each couple's needs are different from, you know, another couple, or if each person in the relationship is assessed individually and then they come to some kind of matching. That wasn't clear. Mm-hmm. Fillers or harvested fat, and when she said fillers, I'm assuming medical grade silicone, but I don't know what she's injecting into people.
Pig
so
fat.
Fillers
BBL juice, sucking out somebody's ass fat and putting it up there. Vaginal. I'm sorry, don't mind me.
Fillers or harvested fat is implanted into the shaft of the penis to increase girth. That is how she's improving the size of the penis. For the vagina, a combination of vaginal rejuvenation procedures, specifically non-surgical vaginal tightening and surgical labioplasty, can be performed depending on the need of the person with the vagina in the couple. I had then had to look up what vaginal rejuvenation meant. So according to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, vaginal rejuvenation is an umbrella term for a series of procedures that include labiaplasty, which is the reduction of the labia minora, clitoral head reduction, which is the removal of extra folds on the clitoral hood, labia majoraplasty, which reduces the size of the labia majora, mansplasty, which improves the appearance of the mons pubis, which typically is reduction. And I've been thinking about getting mansplasty, but that is too... We're going to get to that a bit later.
Okay.
But that is to, that's actually to like suck out fat and then inject it into my mom's pieces because I want a bigger look because I'm just...
Who want a fat pussy out here? Is that what
you're... And I want you to know my pussy is fat, but we're going to move on. And then vaginoplasty, which is vaginoplasty, also known as vaginal tightening, which improves vaginal laxity and separation of vaginal muscles typically incurred during childbirth.
Okay.
So this is what Dr. Lucy is providing for couples, and they are running to her as if she's selling hotcakes, y'all. They are like, my genitals need to match my husband so that, you know, I don't know.
That pains me to hear.
And I'm thinking, like, so I get my pussy to match your dick, and then we break up?
That's why I said that pains me to hear. Because, like, I've given you everything, and I've changed the structure of my vagina for you.
For you.
For you to do some old bullshit? Probably, because you will, because you're a nigga. No.
I'm gonna sit here and change the structure of my vagina so you can still go stick your dick in her vagina, because that's what you're gonna do regardless. So what am I doing?
I didn't want to say it outright, but that is, yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like a dub to me, man. Also, I have a question about the girth thingy.
Uh-huh.
If you're adding pig fat, I'm just making shit up. Adding pig fat to your penis, does that not, like, decrease sensitivity? Could it? Because you're just adding another layer around nerves. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how anatomy
I'm
works.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
Okay.
But what concerned me is that, you know, there was a point where I was very hyperfixated about...
penis girth?
Getting liposuction. Getting liposuction and a BBL. And yeah. I was reading the risks of it. And one of the doctors said that the... liposuction carries risk, but not as much risks as BBL procedures, because they're then inserting fat into you, which can get dislodged and, you know, enter blood vessels and all types of things. So I'm like, we inserting fat. If that's what's happening when I take the fat out my back and stick it in my ass, what's going to happen when you take the fat out your back and stick it in your penis? Like... we risking stroke.
QTNA. Questions that need answers.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's all Dr. Lucy has to offer for the people with penises.
Yikes, we're gonna stick some fat in your dick.
And that's the only procedure. We're sticking things into your penis.
I just, all of this is odd to me. But I don't want to shame people for doing it, but I do question, like, y'all can't use like sex toys or something like that. Like, I just question why it had to go from 0 to 100 real quick.
So quickly.
When there's like
also
so many other.
Also during the time of the corona.
Yeah. That just seems dangerous. Right. First of all, I thought, what was it like, non-life threatening surgeries were banned.
It was postponed elective surgeries, but yeah. Then they, you know, they're back on whenever the UK opened.
Oh
up.
Yes,
I don't know
the UK.
True,
I forgot this was the UK. Man, what's going on with the UK? We had that nigga growing the dick on his arm last week. Now we got niggas sticking fat in their dicks this week.
Mm-hmm.
Curious. Okay, what's going on with this doctor now?
So Dr. Lucy also asserted in the article that women are embarrassed of queefing.
Oh my god.
And implied that queefing happens due to vaginal laxity or having a loose vagina.
Oh my god.
Also asserted that husbands are requesting more anal sex because it's a tighter fit. And that and these are, this is a direct quote. Even if the woman is not so happy about her appearance, if she knows that she is making her husband happy, in bed, she is more confident.
I hate this. This is why medical doctors need better training.
More training. And lastly, that she is saving marriages.
Oh, my God.
So to that, I want to say, you know, no, Dr. Lucy, and this is why you're wrong. So
drag her.
One study published in 2017 showed that only about 6% of the cis women surveyed reported having an orgasm through penetrative sex. 6%.
Dire straits.
So it's not the fact that our genitals aren't matching as to why we're not getting off. That's not it.
Yeah.
That's not it. We are not in, we're not, no. There's something else there. Another study, another 2018 study, concluded that 36.6% of women needed clitoral stimulation in order to achieve orgasm.
There we go. So what is, how is that addressing? You're going to interlock your mouth on my clitoris, nigga? Or are not?
Are we fitting your mouth to my clitoris? How's it going?
Interesting.
There's a doctor, Dr. Stephen Snyder, who's an MD and a sex and relationship therapist, white man, so I can't give him much credit. But he identified, so when I went on the Google, because I was just like, again, I have never heard a man say that his hand is better than my coochie.
Just,
not in my
just
28 years.
Never heard it. Never heard it. Mm-mm. Like, what?
Not, nah, sis, I'm good. I'm going to jack off over here. Didn't happen.
And wouldn't,
not in my 15 years of sexual activity.
Wouldn't that then foster like more like, I remember like a couple of months ago, we talked about was mutual masturbation. Like, wouldn't that foster more of that where it's like, oh, let me just look at you while I fuck my hand because it's so much better than your whole entire vagina.
And that might actually increase orgasms because as I get myself off, because you can't, you got yourself off and we are happy.
Pleasant. Yes, pleasant.
Look at that saving marriage. Yeah. So Dr. Snyder identified other reasons that males may be having difficulty reaching orgasm through penetrative sex that aren't misogynistic. And he asserts that during masturbation, males or people with penises use a combination of hypermotion, so a fast motion, plus a forceful grip, and hyperstimulation of the frenulum, which is the underside of the penis head, that is difficult to mimic in P and V sex. He's saying the motion to which they go and the pressure to which they apply, no vagina can do, no matter what you do.
Even if I put and that fucking fat in my vagina or whatever she's doing.
Even if I throw bubble wrap in there, you know, it cannot mimic what you do with your hand.
I think you have to install a vacuum cleaner in there.
In there, yes, you do. What you have to do.
Got to Hoover that pussy.
There was one study that found men having positive ratings of their sex life after their partner underwent pelvic floor surgery, but those same men rated their sex life as positive or satisfactory even before the surgery. So there's nothing there. I tried to give Dr. Lucy, and it was like, no, they were fine. Two, vaginal flatulence or queefing during sex has nothing to do with the laxity of your vagina. Mm-hmm. The movement of objects in and out of the vagina can displace the air that's already in there or cause air to go in and trap it. And then when the object is removed and space is created, the gas is released. It's simple physics and anatomy, y'all. Not the tightness of your coochie.
So she's one of those doctors who ignored all the other kinds of classes. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
To the point that husbands are preferring anal sex for a tighter fit. Maybe they like anal.
Yeah, maybe niggas just like butt stuff.
Maybe they just want to try something, not because of the tighter fit, but a different sensation.
Who would want anal? It must be because of the tighter fit. What?
And lastly, I don't think interlocking genitals are saving marriages, but the ability to talk about the dissatisfaction in your sexual life, problem solve, take action as a team, increases dual satisfaction that saves marriages. So Dr. Lucy, Don't pat yourself on the back. Don't do it.
You're doing nothing, Dr. Lucy. You're doing nothing.
I can't imagine. I don't think I could ever. Now, vaginal rejuvenation is a great procedure for those who have undergone childbirth or other trauma to the vagina and have, you know, feel self-conscious or have noticed difficulties or, you know, changes in their pelvic floor and vaginal structure. Great. By all means, if that is something that you want to do, do it. And that's actually, this actually reminds me, now that I'm talking about it, of the husband stitch.
Oh, yeah.
Which I remember us talking about it before, but we talked about it before, in which doctors would like sew up the vaginal opening to be smaller for husbands after people with vaginas have undergone vaginal childbirth. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, so if that is something that, you know, you are thinking about or want to undergo for, you know, for yourself, we're not shaming that at all, by all means. That is something that you do for you. But I don't think, and I'm not married, but I've never had the thought of, I need to plump this pussy up for this nigga. Like, for this nigga specifically.
Nah. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Nah. Mm-mm. No. And then also, if I've ever been dissatisfied with sex with a partner, it's never been because I felt like my vagina was not locking properly with their penis. It was usually, like, as somebody who likes clitoral stimulation, it was like lack of clitoral stimulation or like poorly techniqued clitoral stimulation. So can't relate.
Even as someone who likes penetrative sex, even if
I'm not saying I don't like penetrative sex.
I'm sorry.
Nothing in here.
Putting words in your mouth. As someone who prefers penetrative sex, I shall say, if there wasn't enough stimulation, I never thought he needs to stick things in his penis to improve girth.
This nigga need a fatter
dick. Just thought, what else can we do to supplement this for me? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
That, I'm not saying alter yourself at all. I'm just like, again, there's this problem solving and, you know, communication to improve dual satisfaction. Just like, all right, maybe we introduce some toys. Maybe we introduce some supplements. Maybe, you know, what can I do? What can we do to increase, you know, this satisfaction?
Yeah.
But never was it like, we are booking a consultation with Dr. Miami tomorrow because this dick ain't it. No. And I'm not about to put a ring on it for the rest of my life until you get it fixed.
Mm-mm. Yikes. Yeah. It's never been that. It's never been that for me. I don't think it ever will, but never say never. But,
you know, because now I know it exists.
Like, this is not a concept that we grew up with, so we're new to it. But this does just make me go into my heady kind of futurist way of thinking and just think about, like, the future of human alteration and mm-hmm. where that comes up and where that's going to go. Because I mean, like, plastic surgery is human alteration, so we're like already okay with that. And I'm not saying that that's wrong or right or anything like that. I don't really have much nuanced thought about it, to be honest. But then that makes me think, like, human alteration and science exists, but it doesn't exist outside of the context of really flawed, fucked up ways of thinking, right? So, like, mm-hmm. liposuction doesn't exist outside of fat phobia. Mm-hmm. Interlocking genitals doesn't exist outside of, like, the orgasm gap and lack of attention to people who have vaginas and having good sex.
Their anatomy.
Yeah, their anatomy. Mm-hmm. Fucking CRISPR and what that might mean in the future with, like, genetic editing doesn't exist outside of ableism. When people have conversations about, oh, let's fucking gene edit out autism, and people with autism are like, nigga, what the fuck?
Fuck.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I just think we're going to have a really interesting next 50 years, and I'm capping it at 50 because that's when the world ends. But yeah, that was an interesting story to hear.
Another thing that came into my head, last tidbit, is you know that when people say, oh, I can tell you've been sleeping. Like this idea that your vagina loosens because you have multiple partners. Yeah, yeah. Now here your husband has the standing of, you know, it don't feel the same because it was meant for me. Who else been in there?
Or like when you and your fucking partner break up or whatever and you go to somebody else's and your vagina is no longer interlocked, or like you you have that conversation at some point when you're dating someone else and you let them know that you interlocked your whole vagina to somebody else.
It's like a
bad matching tattoo.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you tatted their name on you. It's like just a bad tattoo.
And then what? Do you relock it to someone else? Like, do you just...
At what length do we go to, you know, did I just undo all the work? You know, did I waste my money? What happened?
Taking fat out of the dick, putting fat back in. You're going to end up with, like, dick going to be a wild ride. It's a wild ride for that dick. That was a very interesting story, yeah. Kua. I'm glad that we found it. I'm glad that you told us all that, and thank you for adding the context. Is the conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? Is it helping you learn some new shit, helping you unlearn some old shit, or just allowing you to have a good ass time? It is? Well, we'd love to hear that. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, you can take a moment to subscribe to us or drop 5 stars and a rating for the homies. If you got a little extra change, you can drop some cash in the PayPal at paypal.me/innerho, or you can come join our Patreon community and access our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month on patreon.com/innerhouprising. Or you can just hit up your friend and say, yo, this podcast is really good. Listen to it. We love and thank you all for your continued support. And now Akua is going to tell us about her favorite earbuds.
So, whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, which I've been doing, we want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your roommate, your neighbors, your significant other, or your children are listening to. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you drop hundreds of dollars on a pair, check out wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday, I got them right here, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, no lie, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are comfortable and perfect for conference calls or binging on podcasts. And I, as y'all can see, I have them handy. I love them for all the reasons I've listed. The bass and the sound quality is amazing. They last forever. I've binged 4 episodes of Marsha's Plate and a half of Teen and Queen J before it was like, sis, we need to charge. It charges in like 30 minutes and then I'm right back at it. Like, never missed a beat. It's very noise canceling to the point where you have them in and I can like feel the vibration of my footsteps but hear nothing around me. It is so easy to pair on my phone. It just connects. Like, it took 2 seconds to join it in, and then every day now whenever I take them out the case, you just hear Raycon.
Yeah,
that's what comes on when you put them in your ears, and then it goes connected, boom, 2 seconds. So unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls. The company was co-founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Brandy, J.R. Smith, and Rich the Kid are obsessed with Raycons. Now is the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/IHU. That's buyraycon.com/IHU for 15% off. Raycon Wireless Buds, buyraycon.com/IHU.
Yay.
Get them.
My perfect analogy for how quickly Raycon pairs to your device is how genitals interlock with one another. So
yep. Seamless. Automatic.
Cool, Okay, now we're going to get into a segment that we like to call Sam Presents Ass Media. Ass Media is a play on the term mass media, and it is when I give book, TV, podcast, film reviews that relate to sex, love, dating, and or gender, and they're typically spoiler-free reviews. And yesterday, I watched a film called Juanita. I don't know why I put so much accent on it, but I felt like it deserved it. That's not how she pronounced it in the film, but here we are. Akua also watched it. Akua will be chiming in with thoughts, and I'll be doing the whatever the fuck that is, I'll be doing it. I'll be leading the discussion. Okay, so Juanita. Juanita is an American... Oh, first of all, thank you to Cherry, who suggested that I watch this and review it for Ass Media and sent me a happy birthday message via email on my birthday at 1:39 p.m. Thank you, Cherry. That was very sweet of you. And was like, also, watch Ass Media, though. I mean, watch Juanita for Ass Media. The synopsis. Juanita is an American drama film directed by Clark Johnson from a screenplay by Roderick M. Spencer based upon the novel Dancing on the Edge of the Roof by Sheila Williams. It stars Alfre Woodard and Adam Beach. It was released on March 18th, 2019 by Netflix, and I did not know it existed all this time. Fun facts, Roderick Spencer and Alfre Woodard are married. So he was writing his little screenplay and shit, and he was like, my wife gonna be in this.
My wife is Juanita. I like it.
So the synopsis, fed up with her life, a woman leaves her grown kids behind and hits the road in search of a fresh start. And that was the only synopsis that I could find. And I was like, that wasn't a very good synopsis. So then I just looked up another synopsis and it was equally short, but I'm just going to read both of them. So the other synopsis is a Columbus, Ohio woman takes a Greyhound bus to Butte, Montana, where she reinvents herself and meets an interesting cast of characters at a French restaurant. So my short review is that watching this film really brought me joy. It is a story about a middle-aged woman who sets off to find herself, which I think is a common story at this point, but it's still a very valid story to tell, especially when it exists for Black women specifically. And it exists within the nuances of Black and Indigenous life, which is very enjoyable and just good to see. It's humorous and surreal in ways that made me feel free watching it, and it's a breath of fresh air from the you're old and you're Black and you're washed up narrative that Tyler Perry gives a lot. I would say in general society gives a lot, but Tyler Perry gives a lot, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. Some themes include self-discovery, self-actualization, family, community, fear, resentment, Black and Indigenous life, incarceration, freedom, monotony, and talking about some things that I like in order that they appeared. So the exposition of the film is told through drawings. Another film began like this that I reviewed on the show, but I don't remember the name of it. I think it's called The Half of It. But yeah, I just like that. It's cute. But in this film, those drawings, it's like a series of like flipbook drawings that describe her life. It details what led the character to the point where we start the film and the trauma that she's endured. But I like the drawings because it was nice to not have to see that trauma. I'm not trying to see that shit.
Yep.
Not right now. I'm not trying to see that shit. Alfre Woodard in general, who Akua's... What did you think her name was? Ellie?
Eileen. Eileen, yes.
It's very funny to me still.
Hilarious.
I like Alfre Woodard in general. I've loved her since Kruglin, which is one of my all-time favorite films. Another thing I like about this is that she speaks to the camera in the movie, like she breaks the fourth wall, and that reminds me of some moments that happened in Kirkland, so that was nice. The film is very surreal. It breaks the fourth wall and also plays with space and time a bit. Some notable moments of that include like she's on the Greyhound bus and all of a sudden a song and dance number break out on the Greyhound bus. Also, a fun thing that happens in the movie is that Blair Underwood is just randomly her imaginary friend slash lover. And whenever she like thinks about him, like the room goes pink and then it's like all bounce, you go wow wow, you get like a shirtless ain't shit Blair Underwood, because you know he's not shit in anything that he's in. That's not even a spoiler. He's never shit. And then one time like he gets on her nerves in the imaginary session. And like there's a lamp in the room and she like removes the pink blanket off the lamp and the room goes back to regular. I just thought that was like cute. And then also the freedom and silliness of her imagination, because she just has like a really free and silly imagination. Like her life is rough, all that we know about it, and it seems stifling, but the freedom of her imagination juxtaposes nicely with the stifling nature of her life. So she feels stuck, but she has this imaginary space that she can go into, and like anything can happen. She's just an enjoyable character to watch. I love a good tired of y'all shit. I'm not holding my tongue anymore. Black mama. It's just what I aspire to be one day, mama or not. I know that I'll be tired of y'all shit and I will begin to not hold my tongue. She can laugh at things that bring her discomfort and pain, which is very, very cathartic in real life and nice to see a character do that, especially a black character, especially juxtaposed to like Tyler Perry films. I'm sorry, I just have to keep bringing that up. Here's the part where I do bring it up. So she's a change agent as opposed to a subject of the story. Like her actions drive the story forward as opposed to things constantly being done onto her. So here's the big hurrah. I unfortunately watched Tyler Perry's Fall from Grace on Netflix a couple of weeks ago. And that is one of the worst decisions I've ever made in my entire life. I thought that it would be like, because I heard it was really bad. So I thought that it would be at least be funny bad, but it was just, it depressed me.
Which one is the Falls from Gaze? Which one is the Fall from Grace?
Oh, that's the one with Claire Huxtable in it.
Let's go.
Depressed the shit out of me. So that movie, like, you can say they have similar beginnings. It's a woman of a certain age, middle age, single, being done wrong by hashtag these niggas. And Fall from Grace is just like, these niggas just keep being not shit to her. And it just, she's just in a very dark place, and like, she's in prison, and her wig is like, they just couldn't even bother to like sit her wig down. I know in real life her wig would at least be sitting. Come on. I know they got those fucking Sophia Bursettes up in prison who will do your hair for you. It was just a horrible, it just made me so sad. It made me so sad to watch. And I know that I've mentioned that I've been in a sad space, and I watched that in that sad space, and I was just like, life is bleak, man.
Yeah, no, that's what it leaves you. I feel like when we're so young and have endured so much trauma through dating, and then to watch this older woman enduring more trauma, it's like, do I have hope?
Thank you for saying that. That's exactly like, how I feel. That's exactly what it made me feel like.
Oh, my like, goodness. Yeah.
Ooh, there ain't nothing to look forward to in my whole life.
At all. They gonna keep beating and abusing you. They gonna send you to jail. Like, yo.
Woo, that was a horrible movie. Fuck, man. Anyway, so I hated watching that.
Horrible movie.
But Juanita, I feel like, is the antithesis of that. So one, we don't see the trauma. We know that it's happened, but we don't see the trauma. And the movie is immediately her just like, yo, I gotta be out of here. Y'all are getting on my motherfucking nerves. Like, and it just drives forward and it keeps driving forward. Whew. Oh, thank you for validating that, Akua. God, that movie made me feel like shit.
No, it does. It's
so bad. Oh, boy. Back to Juanita. The movie in general just made me laugh, which I like to do. It was nice to see a black woman solo traveling, because that's what she does, being nurtured, valued, acknowledged, and respected rather than met with misogyny, assault, and racism. And like, none of that happened. Like, it could have, and none of that. Like, she meets people along the way. She meets white people, and white people do not be the best to us. But there was never any like, oh, who's that? Or like, it was nothing of the sort. And that was very, very refreshing to see. And not even them not doing that to her, but them being like, oh, Juanita, we're going to miss you. Come back soon. And all that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was nice. There's a character named Peaches, who is a queer white dyke who allows for queerness to exist openly in middle America. I think the movie, the majority of it takes place in Montana. So I like seeing her there, and she's not the butt of gay. She's also a woman of size. She's not the butt of gay or fat jokes. She's just existing and also being nice to the main character as a white woman from Montana. And like, if I thought of a white woman from Montana, I would just assume that she would be mean to me. So it was nice to see Peaches not be mean to her. Juanita meets a man. His name is Jess. He's a chef and he's Native American, and they have a cute chemistry. It was nice to see black and indigenous love on screen. It was nice to see black and indigenous love from people who are not like 20 on screen. I'm not sure if I've ever seen either of those things on screen. And also Jess could get it. He was kind of hot to me. So I would fuck that man. there's one moment where Juanita calls Google the Google, and I felt like that was just perfect baby boomer writing, because that is literally what my dad calls it every single time. And it's like, I know you guys know that it's not called that. you're just doing it on purpose. Like
you're doing it on purpose.
You're trying to signify that you're a baby boomer. And it's like, I know. I know how old you are. This film deals with in the house business in a way that I appreciated. So when I say in the house business, I'm meaning to say issues within communities of people like Black folks or Indigenous folks that are painful, but a part of our experiences, and that maybe like your grandma or something like that would say, man, that's in the house business. Like, we don't have to show that for audiences that can access this. And this is like not a film that's on BET or anything like that. Like, this is on Netflix. Anybody can watch it. So someone coming from a respectable point of view might say, like, don't put that type of thing in the movie. So some examples of that are the fact that a large part of Juanita's story is that one of her kids is incarcerated and the other two kids are kind of just like ain't shit kind of kids. Like, they're into like they're just irresponsible, I'll say. And that could feed into all kinds of stereotypes that are placed upon us, but it also is rooted in things that are existing in actuality. Another thing that was way less fleshed out, but a Native character in the film has alcoholism, and another character alludes to the fact that alcoholism is a epidemic in Native communities. Like, she makes a comment that just seemed like you wouldn't want white people, or you wouldn't like engage with that conversation in front of white people. Which is like, fuck white people. But yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to add to that in that it's alluded that the Native character also has PTSD from serving as a veteran. And that's a narrative that's never talked about, how Indigenous people have also served for this country and endured trauma for this country as they're also being traumatized.
Really good fucking point. Yeah, I didn't flesh that out of my mind. I was just like, he was a veteran? And then that's where like my cognitive just stopped, because it was like, it's never talked about. So I was just like, oh, wow. I didn't even think that that was a thing that happened. But yeah, that's a really good point to bring up. So yeah, I like the fact that the film deals with quote unquote in the house business. Just because it's a film that everyone can see doesn't mean we can't address things that we really go through. I appreciate that the in the house business isn't exploited or stereotypical or without nuance. It's not like the character who has alcoholism is only an alcoholic. And it's not like her kids, who one of them is incarcerated and the others who are irresponsible, it's not only who they are. And it's not only her story either. She's not like a broken Black woman who's just like, my kids, my son is in jail. So yeah, it's a part of their lives, but not the entirety of their lives. They're not archetypes or anything like that. I like the fact that there's an exchange between people of different cultures. So when you have a movie like this, I didn't see Eat, Pray, Love, but I'm going to use Eat, Pray, Love as an example. And I know that she goes, I believe, to India. Does she go to India? Am I making that up?
Girl, I don't know what happened in that.
Imagine she doesn't go to India at all. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Well, anyway, there's common tropes. And one of the tropes is like the white savior narrative. And I feel like Alfre Woodard, even though she is not white, even though she's a Black woman, could have been placed onto that narrative. And there's also the narrative of, oh, I'm a white person. Once again, Alfre Woodard is not white, but that doesn't mean that like tropes that are rooted in whiteness can't be placed onto Black characters. So there's also a common trope that it's like, I'm this one kind of person. I'm from America. I'm very in my ways. And I go to this foreign ethnic land and I'm invigorated by this foreign ethnic land. They make me a better person and I could give fuck all. I just go off of my business and don't contribute out back to this community. I don't have a film in mind that does that, but in my head it was Eat, Pray, Love, and I'm so sorry if that did not happen. Sorry, Julia Roberts. So I don't think this film is either of those things. It's not a savior film, and it's not a I'm using a race of people to grow up film. To me, Juanita brings things into the lives of the Indigenous people that she's building community with, and they do the same. And then like really want to highlight the fact that I just said like building community with. It's not like she's like extracting or anything like that. Like, they really formed like a bond and a family, and not just with the nigga who she was like romantically linked to.
She was very immediately accepted. She was, yeah. Folds. Like, just she got there, boom. She was one, like, literally yeah. 2 seconds later, she's that's in true. There with them. Like, she's yeah. in the heat.
She was immediately accepted and also immediately gave a part of herself to them. So like,
there's
that exchange there. Another scene where I think this could have been done poorly, but I don't think that it was. And if anybody Indigenous has seen this, once again, I am not once again, but I'm Black, Aku is Black. we have not had lived Indigenous experience lives. So if anything, any of this is like, actually, that was exploitative, I'm very open to like,
please, yeah,
folks letting us know. But there's a powwow scene, and I think a scene like that can very much have been taken as a, I'm this kind of person, and this is a new foreign exotic race of people, and I'm such a refreshed new person from this. And I don't think that's what it was at all. So Juanita finds healing during that scene. So like, there's like a little take element, but she also like helps to cook and embraces people. And like, there's another scene where her love interest, I think they're making music and dancing together, and she kind of just watches and lets it happen. And the camera's like not like all like, oh, what does Juanita think about this? It's more so about what they're doing as a culture of people. So it was like a nice back and forth as opposed to a all sides in one direction. Also, I really like the music in the powwow scene, and I just liked watching the powwow scene. I don't think I've ever seen something like that taken with that kind of care from something that I've watched, which would be a mainstream thing, probably not made by a Indigenous filmmaker ever. So, and that's just because I haven't seen many things by Indigenous filmmakers. So there's that. I like the fact that the story and Juanita's growth doesn't hinge on the romance. And that's like made pretty clear in the film. And that even though it's a romance movie, it's also a lot of communal love on full display. So it's not just her being loved by a man, but being loved by mad people.
Or even that her finding herself is contingent upon finding this love from this man. It was very much like, this is a part, but I'm still doing me.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Things I didn't like, which is a lot shorter than the list of things I did like, but are still worth addressing. Juanita's daughter has a child out of wedlock at 19 and moves in for, I guess, economic and like childcare support. She's also unmotivated and doesn't have a job. I think those two things can definitely exist outside of each other. However, in the film, Juanita at least two or three times just calls her daughter a hoe and says like she just wants to be a hoe, and I wasn't even sure what that meant. So it's not out of character for anybody to do this, given how society views women, but it's not out of character for a mom to do this. But I feel like it just deserved more nuance and care. And I think the story itself was an uplifting story about a Black woman, and in that process did disservice to a story of a young Black woman, which wasn't our main focus of the story, but I just didn't think that that disservice needed to be done. Like, she can critique her daughter's lack of motivation and responsibility without reducing and conflating her daughter, too. She didn't want to be a hoe. So that was, like, kind of whack. Sometimes the writing and the acting could have been a bit more solid, a little bit less corny. There was a couple of moments of this, but I'm not a stickler for it, so that's fine. Also, the sex scene left a lot to be desired, and the noises were odd to me. Did you have thoughts about that? I was just like, what noises are they making? So, granted, everybody's sex is different, but I was just very curious about what that was.
I feel like, so yes, the sex scene did leave a lot to be desired. And especially because this is maybe one of the first times I'm watching an interethnic couple that isn't centered in whiteness. Like, neither one of them is white. I'm watching a Black and Indigenous people get it on. I want to see it.
I want to see it.
Because I don't get to see it that often.
Yeah.
But I feel like the noises she was making was to kind of point to the fact that she's older. Like,
it felt like an inexperienced noise, or like a, what is going on over there? Kind of like...
Yeah, or kind of hinting to the fact that she hasn't done this in a while, like, and haven't done this in a while because she's older, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Because Juanita got three kids. She knows how to put it down.
First of all, she has three kids. She knows how to put it down. But second of all, she's having all these goddamn Blair Underwood fantasies. I know she got a big old rabbit in that fucking nightstand, nigga. Like, come on. I know
she would be in her meat. When she had the pink scarf over the lamp, whenever she calls Blair, she's setting the mood for something.
Exactly.
We know what that something is. So Juanita, she knows what she's doing, okay?
She be rocking her shit, bro.
Don't make it seem like she breaking a hip in there and not willingly or, you know, to do so.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. So those are the parts about the film that I didn't like. One additional thought and then a wrap up. I just want to say fuck Netflix for never telling me this existed. I feel like this is the second time y'all buried Indigenous stories because you didn't tell me about Chambers, which I really fucking enjoyed. And they canceled Chambers. So honestly, I'm ready to fight Netflix. And then my last thing is just like, it was a fun, silly exploratory story of self-actualization with some romance. And it was just really pleasant to watch.
I want to double down on that fuck Netflix because we've talked about how you don't engage with the app, but I engage with the app and it was definitely something that should have been suggested to me. Like when I clicked on it, it was like 98% match. So you knew I would like right. it. Where has it been?
Where is that? Where they at though?
When I'm on Netflix trying to find something new with all these white ass people, you couldn't show me Juanita. You knew I would like Juanita.
Fuck, man.
And I don't like that Netflix.
You've seen me type Crooklyn up into Netflix before.
It should have said other things with Alice, what's her name? Alfre Woodard in it. Sorry, Alfre. I'm sorry, girl.
Netflix is like, Akua don't even know Alfre Woodard's name. We're not going to
say. But she mad.
So that.
But I can't be, okay? Sorry, Alfre. But it definitely could have been, it definitely could have said other things featuring Alfre Woodard or other things featuring a strong black lead.
Right. Also, during that whole, and I don't know where the fuck that went, that whole fucking, this is Black Lives Matter, like that whole mm-hmm. thing. And it was just like, here's all the protest stuff and the stuff about social justice for white people to watch, even though black people have already watched this shit, so y'all can learn. But like, also in Black Lives Matter, give my black life some fucking joy. When all the uprising started and I was just like, yo, the world is fucking fucked up. I'm so tired of this shit. I would have loved to have watched Juanita just to get my mind off of things. Where was
y'all that? Y'all should have been suggesting me films that depict black joy at all ages,
exactly,
at all points of life, exactly. So that I got something to indulge and make me feel better, exactly. That's what y'all should have been giving us, a list of that too.
I guess thank you for Moesha anyway.
And stop suggesting Moesha for me. Stop.
Were you not a fan of Moesha? I'm curious about why you're that angry.
No, Sam. And I'm this angry because nothing else has been recommended. Okay. To the point when I finish it, Moesha just starts playing. I don't press play or nothing. It just assumes I'm about to watch Moesha next. No, I haven't typed this in. I didn't ask for this. Why you keep trying to throw it down my damn throat? Why, Netflix? And you could throw Moesha down my throat, but you didn't think Juanita needs to be shoved down
That's
my throat?
That's a fact. That's a fact. It can't just Juanita be one thing.
You had Moesha on for a week on your platform.
Juanita been there
Juanita
for a full
been here
year.
Over a year.
Exactly.
18 months.
Yeah.
Why didn't I know about, why wasn't Juanita playing every time I ended something? But Moesha is. Get out of my face. That's why I'm mad.
Fix your blood clot algorithms is what we're trying to say right now, actually.
That's what we're trying to say, Netflix. And show me things where black women are getting some motherfucking joy.
Yeah. Need that. But praise be to Alfre Woodard. Thank you to the woman who yes. wrote this book. Shout out to Alfre Woodard's husband for writing the screenplay and the dude who directed it. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She loved a party on the weekend. She loved a party on the weekend. What you doing? Let us move on to our last segment of the day. It is called Fuck You. It is the segment where we read your listener letters. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to ichewpodcast@gmail.com. Please include your pronouns. And also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail. We'll play it and respond to it on the show. So you can drop us a line at 404-491-9158. I do not answer the phone. I promise you, it goes straight to voicemail. So if you are a little bit concerned or a little bit phone shy, it's fine.
You got a little anxiety, Sam.
Because I have phone anxiety, so I don't want to talk to you. You don't want to talk to me. It's fine.
There we go.
So we've discovered a trend on this show And it's that Black femmes in Arizona are straight up not having a good time. It's been mentioned on the show at least two times now. And in response to that, we got a letter from a Southwest U.S. based hoe who wants to give advice to fellow Black femmes on how to navigate sex, love, and dating in this overwhelmingly white Southwestern spaces, or in these overwhelmingly white Southwestern spaces. So the subject is another Black girl from Phoenix. The name is Jessica, and Jessica's pronouns are she and her. Jessica writes, hey, hoes, I know you guys are taking a month-long break, but on the last episode before the break, you guys read an email from a Black girl from Phoenix. I also noticed that it's not the first time a Black girl from Phoenix emailed you guys either, so I want to answer some of their questions and offer some insight into this weird, hot desert wasteland that we've all ended up. First thing, yes, there are Black people in the Phoenix area. It seems like there's not or not that many because Phoenix is a metro area, so it's so spread out. There's not really one area or community that's mainly made up of Black people. Some people would say Phoenix, but we live all over the valley. That's funny because I don't know what the valley means. I'm very unfamiliar with the Western United States. Got to visit, though. That being said, there are a few places that you are more likely to find Black people. The Archwood Exchange, for example. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to check it out before the pandemic hit, but I recommend finding them on Facebook. From what I've read, it's basically like a farmer's market for Black businesses. Oh, my God. I love that.
Love it.
There are also a handful of Black organizations you can follow on Instagram if you're interested in getting involved that way. I'm going to read the list and I'm going to put the ads in the show notes. So the list includes Black Phoenix Org Collective, BLM Phoenix Metro, Arizona Coalition for Change, and Mass Liberation Arizona. If you guys are over 21, once we have a better handle on the pandemic, there are also a few bars and clubs around that are more likely to have Black folks as well. Bar Smith in downtown Phoenix plays hip-hop on Saturday nights downstairs. They also have a rooftop where they play house music on Sunday nights if you like Saturday nights if you like house music, but downstairs is where the Black people will be. Fat Tuesdays on Mill plays decent-ish hip-hop, lots of throwbacks, but pretty fun. International and Mint in Old Town Scottsdale, if you don't mind paying $20 to get in for shitty drinks. I'm sure there's probably more, but I'm an old lady now. Hey, 20 in your 20s is not old, but she says that she's 27 and I'm not as hip as I was in college. Lastly, I would like to say get involved in things you're interested in. For example, I'm a dancer and I try to go to different classes and auditions, etc. Although there might only be one or two other Black people at these events, I know that I'll at least be surrounded by like-minded people. I find all of these events online through Facebook and Instagram, so whatever you're interested in, just search for it and I'm sure you'll find something. Maybe one of these days we can create an Arizona Inner Ho Uprising listener group on Facebook. So that we can connect with each other because I feel y'all's pain. My boss, a hueless man in his 50s, called my head wrap a do-rag and I cringed for a week straight. Oh, God. White people, when it comes to hair and work, are the worst, man. It's always bad. It's always bad. Anyway, I really hope this information was useful. And the hoes, I just want to say how much I love this podcast. Thank you. I learned so much listening to you all and you make me laugh so hard that sometimes I worry that people will think I'm wild. I recommend this podcast to anyone and everyone because you guys have such important conversations and I really appreciate the fact that you guys put so much work into each episode and that you guys check each other and accept criticism with such grace. Hashtag goals. Thanks for taking the time to read this. I hope you guys are enjoying your break and staying safe. Aw, thank you, Jessica. Yes, thank you very much, Jessica. If you're a Black femme from Arizona who wants to access this email, I'm going to make a Google Doc of it and share it in the show notes so you can refer back to all the places that Jessica mentioned. I know that we have another Arizona hoe in the inbox who actually just wants to talk more about this. I will be hitting you up shortly, my good sis. Don't think that we forgot about you. It's just been a tough month. And then also post-pandemic, I propose a Phoenix, Arizona party.
Yes.
I'm just trying to, I just feel like it seems like there's just a gap of like Black and Indigenous people in Arizona, but the people who are in it are trying to be lit. I'm just trying to party with Kiawit, actually.
I was waiting for you to get there.
Ever since we did that episode with her, I was just like, you are the baddest bitch. I like your style. I like the fact that you drum. I'm just trying to party with you and all the...
It feels like rock star energy. It feels like I'm going to get fucked up. It feels like it's going to be a memory I'm going to hold forever. And I just need to do it. I need to experience it.
Like, I'm so... Besides the fact that it's upset. Killed an exorbitant amount of people, this pandemic just fucked up the 2020 goals. Because bitches was supposed to be, like, out here.
We were supposed to be out here.
Yeah. Tired of it. Last thoughts?
Yes. Oh, everything you said, and also Hulist took me the fuck out every time I read it. I was just like, I need to add that to the descriptors that I have. Hulist.
Yeah, that's a good white euphemism. All right.
Love it.
Well, that wraps up another episode of Inner Hoe Uprising. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone you know that you love these motherfucking hoes. We appreciate all of you, each and every one of you.
Again, if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Hoe Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. Join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hoe Uprising Community. That is CUMMUNITY. Head over to innerhoeuprising.com to sign up for weekly goods via our newsletter, to pay a hoe, and to check out the rest of our merch. I am Akua, and you guys can find me at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram.
I am Sam, and you can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen Sam Diego on Instagram for travel photos. I miss traveling so much.
Reminisce. Go back. Yeah. All we can do right now. Exactly. Post some pics so we can all reminisce and daydream.
Exactly. Well, everybody have a great week, and thanks for joining us for another episode.
Bye.